Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A dusty old pickup pulled into the church parking lot. Cowboy got out. He's knocking the mud off his boots, knocking the dust off. He walks into the reception area for the church. And the receptionist said, "May I help you, sir?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "I would like to speak to the head hog." She said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I'd like to speak to the head hog, the big pig." She said, "I'm sorry, sir, who are you talking about?" He said, "You know, the head hog, the big pig, the guy who gets up there on Sunday morning and just blabs on and on and on." And she bristled. She said, "Sir, around here, we refer to him as reverend or pastor, but not head hog or big pig." And he said, "Ma'am, I didn't mean no disrespect." He said, "I had some oil money come in from my ranch, and I had about $2.5 million I wanted to donate to the church." She smiled. She said, "I'll get the old porker right now." I don't know why y'all like preacher jokes better than any other. Last week, we began to talk about something that the Lord had really put on my heart for the church. It's a prayer for 2026. And we brought out that the prayer of Jabez. And it actually, I had some people that came up and said, "Man, I'd forgotten all about that prayer." But I really believe that I had too. And the Lord really put it on my heart for us to pray and begin to pray that as a church. And so these are available out in the lobbies. And I would encourage you to get that and begin to pray it. And as we're talking about that, last week we talked about, "Lord, that you would bless me." And so I want to talk here about this again, because this morning I want to talk about enlarging my territory. And here's the prayer of Jabez. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the name of Israel, the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. The thing about this prayer, sometimes when this prayer came out and people started talking about it years ago, people were concerned that it sounded too selfish. And so we have to take a look at what about Jabez and about this prayer. The Bible said that Jabez was a name that meant "he will cause pain." His mother named him that. He will cause pain. And yet the Bible said he was more honorable than his brothers. And I love the fact that regardless of what your family names you, you don't have to live up or down to that, that you can be different. And he was more honorable than his brothers. And that tells us something. And also tells us that God granted his request, and that tells us something. And so as we look at this prayer, we begin to realize this is not a selfish prayer. Jabez is asking God to do something for him that he could not do on his own, and God granted his request. And we see that Jabez asked for God to do something for him so that he may not cause pain. And so the whole context of that prayer is not selfish. If you look at it with selfish eyes, it's like, "Bless me and enlarge me and your hand be with me." Yeah, but why? And the why is that so I don't cause pain, so I'm a blessing to the people around me. And this is where we have to look at this thing through kingdom eyes. Because God doesn't answer selfish prayers. He answers big prayers, kingdom prayers, prayers from the heart. And so Jabez, man, he wanted to do the right thing. And so as we look at this prayer, and I just really felt impressed for us to pray this prayer. I'm praying this prayer in my own life. I'm praying this prayer for the church. I encourage you to pray this week. Some people say, "Is that the only prayer we're to pray?" No, you add this to whatever you're praying. Some people like the Lord's Prayer. Some people have other kinds of prayer. I'm just giving you something that here's a pattern that you can pray. And this is a great pattern. And so here's some reasons. I'd love to see you pray this. One is that when you pray, you begin to interact with God. You see, I think sometimes people have sold Christianity the wrong way. They've made Christianity to be about a bunch of rigid rules that God gave us to curb sin and ruin our fun. And that's not what this is about. The joy of Christianity is a relationship with a living, loving God. It's a closeness. It's a relationship with God. And when you pray and you begin to talk to Him, you begin to interact with Him. The joy of a relationship is the fellowship. It's the interaction. The reason I want you to pray this prayer this year is that it will raise your expectations. When you begin to ask God with the right motive and the right heart, you begin to ask God to bless and to enlarge your territory that His hand would be with you, then you start expecting something from God. And expecting something from God is a good thing. I learned about expectations from our dog. We got a dog 16 years ago. The dog is 16. He's still going strong, man. He's a little foo-foo poodle dog. And we got him for my daughter because she didn't have a boyfriend. So we got her a dog, and she left, and the dog stayed with us. And the dog really loves me, except in the morning. And in the morning, he knows that Joy has her routine where she gets up, and after a while, she'll make toast, and she'll give him some bread. In fact, she says she really didn't like the dog that much, but she buys him brioche bread that she can give him little pieces of. He's a poodle. He's a French poodle, so brioche bread. His name is Boudreaux, and Boudreaux, in the morning, he ignores me. He's got his eye on Joy. He's watching Joy. He doesn't whine. He's a silent beggar, but he's looking expectantly, because he's expecting something. I think sometimes in Christianity, if you're not careful, you can get into a routine with God and you stop expecting something from God. But we got a big God. He's a good God. And He doesn't just dole out little bits. He is a more than enough God. He's a wonderful God. And so when you begin to pray, you begin to raise your expectations because you're asking for something. And then when you pray, you begin to see God working in your life. See, he's working in us. But we start to tune in. This verse, Paul wrote this verse to the Philippians. He said, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And when you begin to pray, you begin to tune in to what God wants for you. Now, I tell you one thing that He wants for you is He wants for you to be a blessing to His kingdom and a blessing to other people. See, this is, we live in a very focused world, but we're very focused on ourselves. And God wants to focus. He wants us to begin to focus beyond that. My father, in 1969, my father was an executive with the company that makes Wrangler jeans. And so that's how we got to Greensboro, North Carolina. He was a salesman and moved up in the corporate ladder. But he always wanted to be his own boss. And so in 1969, he started his own company. And that was always his goal. He had that company for over 30 years. I grew up in that. Listen, America is built on small businesses and people, and I have utmost respect for anybody who will step out and the courage to start a small business and to do it. My father's a very bright man. He's in heaven now. Very smart. And yet the business never really grew that much. And I was kind of puzzled as to why. Excellent salesman, smart guy, but really his model was not a growth model. His model was, he said, I want to be my own boss and I want a business to take care of me and my family. That's it. Nothing wrong with that. But that's typically not something that you see you scale up. You just want a business to take care of you, your family, and it did. And it helped put me through college. Like I said, I appreciate it. But if you want a growth model typically is the people that go, I want to start a business, but I want to create jobs for other people. I want to get a business that blesses other people and is a blessing in the community. And you start thinking beyond yourself. You say, well, why are we talking about business? Because God's kingdom works the exact same way. God's kingdom does not work on me and mine. God's kingdom works on, can I bless other people? Can I be a blessing for the kingdom? And when you begin to tap into that, now you're starting to tap into bigger plans. Then you can pray this prayer and you're not thinking, oh, I just want the blessings for me and my four and us and no more. No, you start thinking, God, you can bless me. You can enlarge my territory. I can do something for you. Now, I'm going to show you that in another prayer that God answered. Again, it's out of the Old Testament. It's found in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. Solomon, remember, is David's son. He was the third king of Israel. He appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Solomon said, you've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You've continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant, he's talking to it by himself, your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, I'll lengthen your days. The word of the Lord. What a great passage. Solomon, the Bible said in verse 3, I didn't take the time to read that Solomon loved God. Solomon walked in God's ways. He loved God. And he went and gave an offering to God. He was given these sacrifices, I think 1,000 offerings. And God appears to him in the night and in a dream and gives him a blank check. Ask, what do you want me to give you? You ever notice that the Lord does that a lot? He's asking, what do you want? You know, blind people would come to Jesus. And Jesus would look at blind people and go, what do you want? You're thinking, Jesus, I mean, they're blind. But he wanted them to say it. So God wanted to hear what was in Solomon's heart. What do you want? And Solomon said he recognized his need for God. See, he knew he was following his father David. He knew his father was a legendary king. And he mentioned it, Father, my father David walked before you in truth and in uprightness of heart and righteousness. And by the way, that's a great this parental lesson right there. We can talk all day, but they follow our example. And David's example, now he wasn't perfect, but his example before Solomon was good. And that's what Solomon remembered. But Solomon recognized he had a need. He said, I'm a little child. Well, actually, he wasn't a little child. He was acknowledging, God, I do not know what to do. I do not have everything that I need. God, I'm acknowledging you. I am saying I need your help. I'm saying that I need your wisdom. And he kept calling himself, I am your servant. I am your servant. And you can see that this is not a selfish prayer. And he asked, would you give me wisdom that I could be a good leader? That go out and come in. He's talking about leadership. He said, give me wisdom. I can lead your people. These are your people. They're great people. They're your people, God. Help me lead them. And the Bible said that God was pleased with his request. Anytime we see that God is pleased, is a time we need to take note. Go, okay, what pleased God? And God said, you know, you didn't ask for long life for yourself. You didn't ask for riches for yourself. You didn't ask me to kill all your enemies for yourself. But you asked for something to be able to bless my people. God said, I'm gonna give you exactly what you asked for. And God gave him what he asked for. But then we got a good God, guys. Didn't just give him what he asked for. He said, I'm gonna give you what you didn't ask for. He said, I'm gonna give you riches and honor. And if you'll follow me, I'll walk with you all the days. Your days will lengthen. And so he's saying, hey, aren't you glad we got a God that doesn't just barely scrape by? He's a God that we ask for his help. He gives help and gives more than enough. And he blessed Solomon with more than enough. And not only did he do that, but he did something in Solomon. Look at this verse. It's in the next chapter. It said, God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Not only did he make Solomon's mind smart, he made him bigger on the inside. Largeness of heart. Don't lose sight of that, because we're going to come to that. So you go, well, that's great. That's Solomon. But Solomon's prayer, Jabez's prayer, they line up. Again, make me something that's a blessing to people. That's the kingdom model. So in 2026, why pray this prayer? Why pray this prayer in your life? And here's some things we need to take a look at. One, acknowledges your need for God. When you pray, you're saying, God, I need you to do in my life what I cannot do on my own. Listen, we live in a world where the world talks about self-reliance. I mean, have you ever seen a movie, like a movie like Mission Impossible? And they're getting ready to face this impossible mission. And Tom Cruise said, stop. Let's pray and ask God for help before we do. They don't do that. Everyone solves their own problems. Everyone acts like God doesn't even exist. But we know better. And we know that we need God. And we need him in our life. And we need him. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good without him. Well, what could you do with him? You could do a lot more with him. I need him to be a better pastor, better husband, better father, better grandfather, better spouse, better friend. Say, God, we need you. And really, it takes a big person to admit that God is bigger. And that's what humility is. Some people think humility is walking around going, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a loser. No, no. That's not humility. That's stupid. Don't do that. Humility is saying, God, you're bigger. You're smarter. I need you in my life. And when we do that, look at what it says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may squash you in due time. Oh, no, I've read that wrong. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Did he do that for Jabez? Yes. Did he do that for Solomon? Yes. There was humility there. And because there was humility, it gives God something to work with. Here's just the thought. We are often referred to ourselves as, I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ. How many times do we refer to ourselves as being a servant of God? I serve God. I'm his servant. You say, well, I'm a son of God. Yeah, good. I am a son. Through Jesus Christ, he's made me a child of God. I choose to serve him. Here's the second one. Asking God to enlarge your territory. I got three areas of enlargement. Let's talk about the first one. First one is more responsibility. Some of you are thinking, no, my yard is big enough. I do not want a bigger yard. That's not what we're talking. Talk about maybe it's another job. Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's starting a business. You're asking God. Maybe it's a leadership position. You're asking God, Lord, would you expand my territory? Would you give me more responsibility? A lot of times people say, I want a better job, but usually a better job that pays you more is going to be more responsibility. And so we're saying, Lord, I'm asking for that. I'm asking that you increase my responsibility. You increase. I've talked to people after both services, and they're like, I lost a job. And we're praying, okay, let's pray that God can give you a job, a good job, that he can bless you on that job where you can be a blessing for him. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. Territory, how about this one? Influence for the Lord. That he would increase your influence for him. That's a marked lack of enthusiasm, but this is really a good idea. We're talking about, we're asking the Lord, Lord, would you expand my influence? Joy and I pray on Saturday nights. This is when we get together and pray. We pray for you. And we've been praying, and we keep adding people to our prayers. We're adding our neighborhood to our prayers. We're adding people that we know that don't know the Lord. We've got a Jewish couple that are so close to us, we love them, and yet they don't know the Lord. We're adding them to our prayers. What are we saying? We're saying, Lord, increase our influence. Give us more influence for you. Give us more for you so that we can be a blessing for you. Listen, start with Invite Sunday. Just say, hey, invite somebody. Lord, lead me to somebody I can invite to church. And you're doing so. What are you doing? You say, well, Alan, you know, that's your job. That's not my job. No, actually, it's all of our job. Look what Paul wrote the church. He said, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God or come to God for the very first place. Listen, we're his representatives. We're his ambassadors. It is our job to tell people, hey, we got good news. So you go, no, Alan, it's your job to tell them. Okay, I'll tell them, but I'll promise you, if I walk into a party, it shuts down. I walk in anywhere and everybody gets religious. You can sneak up on them. You can be an influence to them. And so you're saying, Lord, I'm a representative for you. You know, an ambassador lives in a foreign country but represents the interest and speaks for the United States. Jesus said, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are citizens of heaven, and so we live in this world. We represent him, and we're telling people, hey, you need to come to God. He is good, and he will be good to you. Ambassadors for Christ. Lord, increase my influence. It's a great prayer to pray. And then here's the last area of territory, that you would increase, enlarge my heart and my vision, that I might see more. When we started the church, we'll be 30 years old in June as a church. Just for clarity's sake, I did not say I would be 30. The church would be 30 years old. And when we started in a room. At that time, it was a Montessori center. The room held 50 little white chairs, very uncomfortable chairs. We moved to a room that held about 75 very uncomfortable chairs. We were all packed in. We had no live worship. We had an AOR sound system. The room was packed in. In fact, we called the first three rows the spit zone, because if you sat there, there's a chance you could get spit on, not on purpose, but I would be preaching, and so you were vulnerable. And so we knew we needed a bigger place. And so a place across the street came available for lease. It was in a strip center. It had 3,000 square feet. And we're like, oh, wow, 3,000 square feet. Praise God. We could grow to 300 people there. And we tried to lease it, and they wouldn't lease it to us. I was so disappointed. I'm like, so we began to look around. We found a place for 6,000 square feet, and that deal fell through. They finally found a deal that was at one time been Conroe Roller Rink. It had changed to a Tejano bar, and there was a storage area when we found it. And when I walked in, I went, this is it. It had 18,000 square feet. We're like, what are we going to do with 18,000 square feet? My God, it's so big. And we actually built a sanctuary inside the room. We didn't need all that room. We still had the sign out front. In fact, the first sign the Ark Church ever had was a sign out front that said Outlaws. That was the name of the bar that was here before we. It was not prophetic, but that was the name. 18,000 square feet. And that was big to us. We're praying, God, enlarge our vision. And then we outgrew that. And before it was over, I think the Sebastians were so good. We had five or six buildings around there that we used for children's church. We continued to outgrow it, and then we moved to a high school. And then we moved from a high school, we moved into this building, and now we have 150,000 square feet under our roof here, right here. Now, here's the deal. If God had not expanded my vision, we'd have been at 3,000 square feet and 300 people. And so someone said, oh, did you see that huge building? No, I didn't see that huge building. I was trying to get a 3,000 square foot place. But what I'm saying is that God can increase. How many times have we limited God by thinking too small? God, would you increase my vision of what I can do for you? Increase my vision so I can see more. Increase my heart so I can be more. Do something in me. Do a work in me. Could I have led a church this size when we first started? Absolutely not. God had to do a work in me. Here's the third one. It's a kingdom prayer. It's a prayer that goes beyond you. Jabez wanted to be a blessing. He didn't want to cause pain. Lord, would you do this in my life so I not cause pain? Solomon wanted to be a good leader for God's people. God, would you give me wisdom that I can lead your people? These are kingdom prayers. They're bigger than us. But when you begin to pray kingdom prayers, that's how God's kingdom operates. That's how his kingdom works. It works on a model of not, it's not about us. It's about you, Lord, and what you want for me. A number of years ago, Joy was in college. She went to Florida State, and she met a guy there in Florida State. He was the son of a very prominent doctor in Florida, 6'4", looked like a Viking. And, you know, wealthy family, and just Joy was so caught up in that, and they were talking about marriage. He told her, I want to marry you. Family knew about it. Everyone knew Joy was part of that family. And Joy said something very wise. She wanted to do it, but then something was nagging at her. She said, I need to pray about this. She said, I need to pray. His name was Will. She said, Lord, I want your will, not my will. And in 2 weeks after that prayer, they broke up. And even though she sensed that God was in it, it wrecked her. She was making great grades. I think she had like a 3.85 average at Florida State. She was killing it. But mentally, emotionally, it just wrecked her. She dropped out of college. Her family sent her to live with some family members in California. So she went out to Southern California, and she was out there, and she wanted to do something. And so there was a Catholic community agency close by, and a group of nuns, and they ran a respite home for special needs and additional needs children and adults. What happens is a family with a child with needs could bring them in, drop them off there for a week or a weekend, and the family would have a break, and they would watch them. And so Joy went as a volunteer. And so she was there, and 2 days after she volunteered to join, the two people in front of her quit. And the nuns came to her and said, you're now head of this respite home. She was 20 years old. And she was like, oh, you know, what do I do? Some of these children had needs. I mean, she started praying because she was concerned that some of them were going to die under her watch. She's praying. She said, one of the children just began to stop breathing. And she started praying, oh, God, please. And the child began to breathe again. And later on, she thought, I should have at least done CPR. I mean, she didn't know it. She's 20 years old. And she began to pray for these residents and pray for these severe needs. She said there was something interesting that when she started praying for them, her mind and her emotions came clear. She said, I snapped around. I got stronger again. So as she's praying for them, God's doing something in her. And then on her way back from California to go back to Florida, she stopped in Texas for a while and got this incredibly handsome man that she met who she would later marry. Isn't God good? He'll give you what you didn't ask for. But what I'm saying is this, is when her prayers moved out beyond herself, is when she began to get help. God's kingdom works that way. God's a giver, for God so loved that he gave. That's just how we live this life. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for every individual here, those who know you, those who walk with you. You have a plan, and it's good. Ask that you would guide them and lead them. You have something for their kingdom. Expand their vision, expand their heart, expand their territory, Lord. Help them see more of you and what you have for them. And we thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure, or I used to at one time, but boy, I really desire to connect or reconnect. We're going to say a prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. But if you're saying, you know what, I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? We'll do that. Would you slip your hand up just across this auditorium and say, that's me that you're talking to? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, no one's moving or looking around. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. If you're watching online, of course, you can pray it out loud with us. If you're with other people, play it quietly. But if you're here, we're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.